APRO, the National Trade Association for the Rent-to-Own Industry and the premier sponsor of the RTO show, is thrilled to announce that registration is now open for the biggest rent-to-own event of the year, RTO World 2024. Listen, join RTO industry colleagues and vendors at the Loews Universal Resorts in sunny Orlando, Florida from August 6th to the 8th for three amazing days of unparalleled networking, learning, and most importantly, fun. Hey, listen, the RTO World just isn't any convention. It is the national rent-to-own convention and trade show of the year, hosted by APRO and the Trip Group. With something for everyone on your team, this ultimate Florida location is also great for the opportunity to bring your family. Plus, this year, two brand new pre-convention events will be held in conjunction with RTO World: the Protecting the Transaction Summit and the Women's Forum, both happening the afternoon of Monday, August 5th. Whether you're coming to learn, buy, sell, or really just have a blast like I am, RTO World 2024 will be the place to be. Register now for RTO World 2024 at rtohq.org/RTO World. And listen, the best early bird registration deals end June 30th. This is Pete from the RTO show, and I can't wait to see you in Orlando. Hello and welcome to the RTO show. I'm your host, Pete Chow, and today we're talking about how rent-to-own works in the huge state of Texas with our friend, somebody that we've known at probably a year or so now that we've really talked to. The last time that we had an interview with Leroy Steen, one of the best guys that I know of, has history in the rent-to-own, but not only history, decided to come back and open up Rent Buy in Texas. How are you doing today, Leroy?
I'm doing great. How are you, Pete?
I am having an excellent day. Probably not as good as you. Up to three locations now. Last we talked, the last location was just opening. Now it's been about 3 years with three solid locations, right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We have three locations here in East Texas, and I'm hopefully going to do more soon.
I hear the secret's on the way. We're not going to give away the secret sauce, but Leroy's got a lot going on. But Leroy, for everybody out there who doesn't know exactly who you are, why don't you give a little bit about yourself and a little bit about your backstory?
I was born and raised in Texas. I started in the rent-to-own business as a delivery person for $5 an hour in the year 1985. I worked for Hughes Rentals and Sales in San Angelo, Texas. Did that, quickly moved up, knew that this was what I was supposed to be doing at an early time, and just went for it. And, you know, other than taking a couple of, you know, breaks from it, I've been doing it since that time.
I can tell you, I think everybody that I know has taken a break from rent to own at some point in time. I don't know if they've wanted to or they had to, but once they decided they want to do it, it's always something that you come back to. So you've been doing this for a long time, but you weren't always an owner. I mean, you really came through the ranks when it came to rent to own. What was the first company that you worked for?
The first company I worked for was Hughes Rentals and Sales. It was a independent dealer in San Angelo, Big Spring, Lubbock, that area. And I worked for them for a few years before I went to corporate rent-to-own. The second company I worked for was Rentway. I was surprised when I ran into Joe Bob Ellis over there in Albuquerque. That was actually my first district manager in the corporate world.
No kidding.
Yes.
So just so everybody knows, Joe Bob Ellis is actually one of the divisional managers in Buddy's Home Furnishings, the Buddy Mac Holding franchise group. And in this particular situation, being a divisional manager means that he has half of the franchise at 40 store locations. So he's one of the guys making it happen over here. He's been in the business a long time, though. I mean, he's been doing this. You guys have been rocking and rolling for a long time.
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Like I said, this was back in 2001. When I worked for Joe Bob. And then shortly after that, I actually moved to Florida and worked with you guys. You were in the opposite district of me, but we were neighboring districts.
Just so everybody knows, we're talking about the Rent-A-Center time frame in my career where it was hot and heavy, man. We were making it happen. There was a whole lot going on, and we were fighting with Leroy to make it happen because he had a really good crew out there. I mean, you guys were just making it happen and putting some numbers on the board. So how long – so you – I mean, you went from the bottom to the top, and then you actually ran a district. How long were you a DM?
I got my first DM gig in 2008. I had one perform to win as a manager 2 years in a row, and then applied for a district manager position. I received it, and I did very well at it. It was really good. The business was good. The opportunity was good. And, you know, a lot of times you hear people, you know, leave corporate rent to own and they leave with a bad taste in their mouth. I have nothing bad to say about my corporate days with Rent-A-Center. They were great. They took good care of me. When I left Rent-A-Center in 2012, I was actually the number one district manager in the company.
Well, you got to leave on top. You got to leave on top.
Let me rephrase that. I was the number three district manager in the company because we didn't count Puerto Rico's two districts because nobody could touch them.
I know, right? They were putting up some ridiculous numbers. But one of the reasons that I wanted to talk to you, Leroy, today is because the subject of today that I wanted to bring on to a lot of our listeners is some people think, well, if I decide that I want to go into business for myself, I do have the knowledge, I have the know-how, but I don't know how to build the business myself. And one thing that I can tell you right now is you are extremely business savvy, especially when it comes to the rent-to-own industry. And so as you got out and you decided, you know what, I'm going to try it one more time, and you came back in, you didn't go the route of a franchise. You didn't go the route of something already established and you came in as a district or you came in as a GM and making your way back up to a district. You actually went out and did your own company and made your own way, and now you already have three stores. How was that ride? I mean, how was that journey going from being completely out of the business to owning three locations that are under your brand name?
Well, Pete, I'm going to tell you, in 2012, I retired. I took it easy. And one day I was sitting on the sofa in about 2018. And I was talking to Miranda, my wife, and I said, I'm too young to retire. I want to go back to work, but I want to do my own thing. And so we literally bet the farm. I have a little farm here in East Texas, and it was paid in full. We didn't owe anything on it. And we took out a loan on the farm to open our first store. This was in October of 2019, which hindsight tells you 2 months later, we was hit with COVID.
Tell you right now, we're still feeling the effects of those COVID years.
Absolutely. We got started. We found our building. We did a lot of sweat equity went into it. If you're going to, and anybody that wants to open a rent-to-own store on their own, the possibility is there. If you have a dream, you can make it happen, but you have to be ready to grind and you have to be ready to put some sweat equity into it. We didn't go out and borrow $1 million to open our first store. As a matter of fact, we borrowed, I'll tell you, $250,000.
Now, I'm going to say, when you told me that, when you first told me that, I was in complete awe and shock because to me, from everything that I've heard up until now, and even till now, that's 50% of the budget that you need to really get a store off the ground. And with that half budget, you went in and not only established a rent buy, but you flourished and opened more. How did you do that?
Once again, a lot of sweat equity. The remodel, had to do a remodel. I did the remodel myself. I have a little bit of background in construction. So I went in and I built the store out myself. We didn't go out and buy brand new trucks. We went out and we found used box trucks and we bought used box trucks. I ran the store myself for the first 6 months. And did it without a paycheck. We just got in there and got after it. We grew organically, I would say. We didn't go in there and we didn't throw out 500 rental agreements right off the bat. We grew low, but we grew smart. You know, I recall the days of free till, and you could go out and throw out 100 rental agreements in a month. We did not do that. We went in and we grew the store slowly. I believe the first 3 months into the business, we had 150 rental agreements, but already we were starting to bring in income, and then we just continued to grow it and just made it happen.
I mean, you have the track record. You definitely know how to make rent-to-own work. But when you're going to it, because what usually happens is you go to a franchise, you go to a partner, and you do a lot of background, and that's where some of the capital goes to. But if you're doing it on your own, how did you guys decide where you were going to be? That first location is absolutely critical to be the anchor point to give you the funds, the revenues, the outline to put the rest of them where they need to be. How did you choose that location? How did you come up with that when it was just you and Miranda?
Well, let me tell you, when I became a district manager, the first district that I ran, that district was ranked 376 out of 425 districts, I believe, at the very bottom. The bottom 5% is what Rent-A-Center called it. I went in and I turned that around, and these were stores that were broken, and I went in and I fixed them, and I made them profitable. Well, when I started looking for a building, one of the first locations that I found was a Rent-A-Center store that had Rent-A-Center had moved out of. And so I went in and I talked and I found the employees that had worked there before, and I spoke to the employees that worked there before. And at one time, this was a 500 agreement store. So I knew right then that this location had promise. So I leased the building, and I guess you would say the rest is history. We started with, you know, putting into fundamentals. One thing about this game, if you're going to do it, you have to understand the fundamentals, the gears that make this business drive. Once you get the fundamentals in place, then you can make some great things happen in this business.
Well, you know, I was watching one of the videos that came out recently, because I try to watch as many videos as I can that pertain to rent-to-own industry. And Phil Hamer was, he still is, somebody that I've known a long time in the rent-to-own industry. And he's always been at buddies that I know of, but he was talking about how important it is to understand that this is a relationship business. And I don't think there's anybody that I've ever really talked to that's been in this business for a long time that really has done the grind of it, really has grown and understand it and taught it, that they don't understand. I mean, it's a relationship business. And whether you have a name brand that's known all over the place or whether you're starting off fresh and new, you have to be able to establish those relationships and make it happen. But one of the things that I've always heard, though, is the reason that you need so much capital is because you have to buy the merchandise, right? So as you come in, you have a showroom full of merchandise. As you sell that, you have to go out and buy more. And if you bottleneck that with the revenues that aren't as much as they could be, then you might cause yourself some stagnancy. How did you get around that, building on that first one?
You know, The first thing we didn't do is we didn't go out and just throw out a bunch of merchandise with free time. When we did these rental agreements, we set them up properly. We did everything right. We started generating income. Like I said, we had $250,000 to work with. I'll be honest with you, we were about $170,000 into it when we stopped using the loan money and started functioning off of the income from the rent-to-own store.
So you had cash flow really quick.
Yes. We paid off our initial loan in the second. Actually, we started paying it off in the first year that we were open. And by before we opened our second location, we had our loan paid in full. Now, once again, I will tell you, you know, I didn't have $100,000 a year salary coming off of that. We were putting in a lot of sweat equity. My wife was teaching. I was working, and we were just making it happen. And so
now for anybody who doesn't understand what I'm saying there, just to break it down, to start paying that back, you've got to have a cash flow that incorporates the ability to start making those payments. Now, when we're talking about good cash flow is being able to get paid and paying it back. Great cash flow is saying that I paid a $250,000 loan within 2 to 3 years. That's an amazing way to do it. So you get the one store because you kind of did your homework. You found the Rent-A-Center that's sitting there, unused. You take over the lease of the building. You make it happen. So then how did this transition to the second one? So you had a loan. You've already paid it back. How did it work going into the second store then?
The second store was very much the same thing, but believe it or not, we actually went into an old Color Time building. Now, one thing you have to realize is going into these stores that were already rent to own stores in the past, then most of the build out was still there. they were set up for rent-to-own stores, so I didn't have to go in and do huge remodels on them. I went in and I put carpet in and I put some paint up, and we designed our brand early. We got our signs put up, and we just started, you know, started putting in merchandise and just started once again going with it. We each store that we started with, we would start with 3 employees. And then as the store progressed, then we would bring in the extra employees needed to run the store.
I'm going to tell you right now, Leroy, that's an amazing, amazing situation. But if you guys don't know how serious that I'm saying this, and I mean this wholeheartedly, that Leroy understands this business. We have talked previously, and we've talked about some heavy hitters in this industry that have really changed the lives of a lot of people. And I remember one of the names that came up was Todd Humber. You had mentioned it to me, and I was like, man, I remember Todd. That was such a long time ago. And you have a lot more interaction, or you had a lot more interaction with him than I did. And how did he affect you when you were a DM?
Todd was great. And Todd was actually, he was the regional director for Rentway when Joe Ellis was my district manager. So that was my first run in with Todd, and he's a great guy, a great teacher, really probably one of the most influential rent-to-own people that I've worked for. And he was very real about it. He was down to earth. He wasn't, you know, he wanted to find where your strengths are, and then he wanted to build upon those strengths, and he did. Todd, I tell you, when I went to Florida in 2002, when I went to Florida, I worked for Rent-A-Center there for a few years. Rentway and Rent-A-Center, you know, the merge was happening. Todd was actually a Rentway guy. Well, when I came back to Texas, the full merge had taken place, and Todd, all of a sudden, was my regional director again with Rent-A-Center. And so we had that chemistry with each other. It was kind of neat because, you know, I always looked up to him like he's a great guy. And it was cool because we were in one of the stores, and Todd was, you know, Rent-A-Center had a different point of sale. So he called me over, and he's like, what is this? I was actually getting to go over there and teach with him and help him out. So that was really cool. Todd was a great guy.
If you had to say, right, after all these years, because I've mentioned it, his name comes up in several circles, believe it or not. But if you had to say one takeaway that Todd gave you, some information that he gave you that you say you still use to this day, what would that be?
That would be to let the horses run. Basically, you know, you simply set the game plan in motion, then you trust your managers to do that game plan. You trust your managers to take that ball and run with it. Todd was very good about that. Todd was not a micromanager whatsoever. He would put a plan in action, and then he was, okay, now go do it. And show me the results. And so that was the one thing that I took from Todd was, you know, trust in the system, the fundamentals, trust in, you know, the fundamental game plan, but then also trust your managers, you know. But on the flip side of that, also accountability. I didn't get that so much from Todd because Todd was more easygoing, but one of the huge reasons that I was so successful at Rent-A-Center was because I understood the importance of accountability and holding your employees accountable to what they were required to do without being a micromanager.
How big is accountability? Let's say that you're building your brand like you did. You're starting from the ground up. You're not taking big handouts. You literally put the farm on the line. How big is accountability in what you do?
Well, I'm going to tell you something, Pete. Accountability has changed. First, let me go back to my days with Rent-A-Center when I was at the top with them guys. Accountability then was a game changer for me because one of the things, you know, we've talked about names from the past. One of the names I'll mention from the past is Chuck Sanders. Chuck Sanders taught me the importance of reading reports, of managing from paper. I could manage these stores from paper. And what I mean from paper, I mean going to your transaction audit trails, your receipt audit trails, and reviewing yesterday's results, and then calling your people and saying, let's talk about this. Let's talk about what happened here. Why did we do this? So I had such a relationship with my managers that they knew that, number one, they knew every day the first thing I was going to do is I was going to look at my transaction audit trails and my receipt audit trails. So it helped because they knew what I expected. As a multi-unit manager, one of the things, you can't be in every store every day. So you have got to trust these reports, and you can't trust them if you don't read them. You've got to read these reports, and you have to know what you're looking for. And then you have to call your managers and say, hey, let's talk about this. If you're talking about it with your managers, that's where the accountability comes in. That's where your manager says, okay, let me tell you this, or we correct an issue if an issue needs corrected. That was a lot of words to say accountability is really important.
Let's take a quick break.
Here at the RTO Show, we use Vox Populi for our marketing needs because they are the best graphics production agency in rent-to-own. They offer turnkey services from design, production, and fulfillment, maintain a huge catalog selection, and manage a ton of creative services that can be tailored to fit your business. Andrew and Cindy Hyduk have the knowledge and experience of working with rent-to-own for years, and they make it easy to get your brand recognized and utilized. You can contact them at 770-476-5112 or visit them online at voxpopuli.com. That's vox-pop-uli.com. But no, I mean, we need to break it down. I mean, the truth is that sometimes we say the word accountability, and I don't know if a lot of people really know the fundamentals of it, except for you didn't do this and now you're in trouble. But that's not really all of what accountability is. Sometimes it's like you said, I need to call you. We're going to discuss the transaction that happened. We're going to discuss why you thought that that was the best reason to handle that transaction. And then I'm going to tell you what the implications were of that and why I want it done this way or why it should be done this way to get the desired outcome. And then we're going to go over it again. And we're going to go over it again until you get it right. And that I see that you understand where we're coming from. We understand what the goal is and how to achieve that goal, not just you're in trouble. Do it the way I want you to. Cause if you don't, you're going to get it. It's really important. And it's something that you've been able to build a brand on. Now, where are your locations? Where are these rent by locations in Texas? Cause you got a lot of ground to cover. Texas is pretty big. Where are they at?
So I'm in a 30-mile, each one of my stores is exactly 30 miles from the other. I'm in Nacogdoches, Texas. My first store was in Henderson, Texas. Okay, we're in Henderson, Texas. We're in Nacogdoches, Texas, and we're in Jacksonville, Texas. Smaller markets. Henderson, 13,000 people. Jacksonville, 13,000 people. Nacogdoches, 32,000 people. They're smaller markets, but they're good markets.
So, in your opinion, I'm going for a store that I want to bait some roots on, right? And I know that I need to get this done because, of course, everybody wants a huge store. But I have tried rural. I have tried urban, city-like. I'm going to tell you right now, I think where it's at is the smaller towns. Not only do you build better relationships, you really know the people a lot closer because you're going to see them at the Walmarts. You're going to see them at the supermarkets. You know, we have Publix here and such. So, but you go to these places and you see them at the ball games. You see them at the football games. You see at the baseball games. You see them at the Little League. You see them when you go shopping. You see them when you're buying your cars. And so you foster these relationships a lot easier. Now, I'm not going to say that city rent-to-own is not good because it's definitely profitable. But I've always found that in those small towns, that's where it's at. Is that the same for you or do you like the bigger city?
It's, you know, So the bigger cities is easier to grow. I'm not going to say it's not. The bigger city, you know, more people, there's more opportunities. But just like you said, the smaller communities, there's more camaraderie. There's more, you know your customers. One thing that people may not understand is I don't care if you're in Arlington, Texas. I've been there. I don't care if you're in Fort Myers, Florida. I've been there. Or if you're in Henderson, Texas, your area, your store that you're located at, you probably, you know, have access to up to 1,500, 2,000 customers. That nucleus doesn't grow too much, okay? We have to recycle. Don't like to use that word, but that's what we do. We have to recycle those customers. So whether you're in a 13,000 population or 80,000 population, you still just have that area, you know, within 20 miles of your store, we'll say, that you have to deal with.
You really got to treat them right. You really got to take care of those customers.
No doubt. You have to take care of the customers. And once again, let's talk about all the things that have changed in the rent-to-own world. You know, from the time I left in 2012 to the time I came back in 2019, a lot changed in the rent-to-own world, but a lot remains the same. So advertising definitely changed in those 7 years. That's something that I had to relearn, and I'm still learning, and I'm still working, and I'm still trying to figure that part out. But the things that have not changed is the fundamentals of a rent-to-own agreement. The things that have not changed is how to set that customer up, not only for your success, but also for the customer's success. From the order form, to the verification, to the delivery, to getting that first payment set up on their proper due date. It hasn't changed since 1985.
You know, what's funny is the other day, and when I say the other day, it could be within the last 6 months, so don't hold me to this. But the other day, I was talking to Paul Mativier, and I can't remember when it was that he said it. I believe it was in one of the breakout sessions that we had. It actually could have been a year ago, but he said something that stood out to me. And not because I haven't heard it before, not because it was true at this point in time and not true at another, but the way he said it and in the context that he said it, we were talking about different things that happened in rent to own and some of the changes. And one of the things that he said was, just never deviate from the terms of your rental agreement. Don't make exceptions. This is the terms of the rental agreement. And as long as you stick to that, you will have a functional, proper, profitable store. And it's just like you just said. It is so true. There are certain things that have changed. The way we market, it's changed. The age of the customers might have changed a little bit. What we have in the store might have changed a little bit. The way that we have our outreach, whether we do it through mailer, the way that we do it emails, whether we do it through text or whether we do it through calls, whether we do it through CRM systems that are trying to get people off the internet or whether they're walking in the door. Those are changeable things. What's never changed is that you have to have a great relationship with the customer. And you got to have a good rental order, verify it, a good solid rental agreement, and make sure that you talk the fundamentals with the customer so that they don't mess up. We don't make the problem of not taking care of them in their first set of payments and setting them up for success. And you're right, that hasn't changed, but there's so much that has. And that was going to actually be my next question is, now that you have RentBuy and you're starting to make this happen, you have three locations. What are some of the differences that you notice besides just the marketing that 2012, now you come in, it's a whole different story. Like you did say this was the first time that you went to Meeting of the Minds in Albuquerque, correct?
That is correct, yes.
So what did you think of it? What did you think of the trip meeting?
It was great. I had been a part of Nationwide in the past, and I had never, you know, this was my first time to Trib, and I just thought it was wonderful. I'm really excited about the future meetings after getting to go into there. You know, one thing about being in corporate world, I never heard about Trib until I became an independent dealer. To be able to go in there and have all these like-minded people just caters to the rent-to-own world. So it was really awesome. Everything from the vendors to the breakout sessions, everything about it was just, in my opinion, fantastic.
One of the things I enjoy about having the breakout sections and Meeting the Minds or the RTO world is that when people are sitting there and they're sitting in front of you and you guys are having this discussion or I'm having discussion with the people in front of me, it's a great feeling to know that not one of those people have come from a different situation other than rent to own. Now, it's not to say they haven't been in other businesses, but they're not there for anything else. It's a rent to own based idea system that has its own roots in rent to own. So you don't have bankers there and you don't have politicians there and you don't have other people with different agendas there. It is all rent to own, for rent to own, by rent to own. It's probably one of the most unique situations and one of the most unique industries I've ever seen in my entire life. And I come back to it again and again and again. Now, you said that you took a hiatus. You took some time off. You come back, you come out guns a-blazing, you open up three stores. Like, how is the, you know, one of the things that has changed in the last few years, and I get a lot of this from a lot of people, is employment has changed. The type of employees that we have and the way that we address them has changed. Have you noticed that as well?
Absolutely. And I'm going to tell you, in my part of the world, it's getting better. One of the things that when I was at Nationwide over in, was in Nashville, I was at Nationwide, and I went to a breakout session over there. And I don't know if you've heard this or if you saw it, but they were talking about Buc-ee's. You know what Buc-ee's is? And I realize you're not from Texas.
No, I have never seen one, but I have heard the famous Buc-ee's gas stations. God, I want to visit one just to say that I went. I've never been to one, though.
People go there as an event because they're huge. I know this isn't a Buc-ee's commercial, but Buc-ee's has the cleanest restrooms in the world. They're in the Guinness Book of Records for clean restrooms. But also, one of the things, when you walk into a Buc-ee's and they have a big sign hanging up, and their associates start, I think it's at $21 an hour, and their managers are up there at $250,000 a year.
Wow.
I can't pay that. You can't pay that.
You're right. I can't.
But the point that they were making at this breakout session that I was in was the thing about working at Buc-ee's is people are looking for the opportunity to work there. They take applications one day a week. And when they take applications on that one day a week, there'll be 20, 30, 40 people there to fill out an application. They hold their employees accountable because they pay their employees that kind of money, and they hold their employees accountable. The employees know when they come to work that they better be there to work because there's 50 people waiting for their job to open up. And so I said that to say this. There was a time, and you know, it's still part of it going on. I don't remember what the great resignation or whatever they called it. The turnover rate in my stores was just unbelievable. I think, I don't know, 300 or 400%. It was crazy. And I thought, well, that's just me. And then I go to some of these meetings, and it's everybody. The turnover rate in rent to own was just astronomical. It was crazy high. And nobody had the answer. I sat there with the CEO of Buc-ee's. They said, what's the answer? He says, I don't know. You know, we're trying different things, but I don't know the answer. So it's getting better. It's getting better. You know, used to, when I was at Rent-A-Center, when I was a district manager at Rent-A-Center in accountability, I would walk in, you know, if I needed to let go of an employee, if I needed to let go of a manager, it was easy to do because I had, once again, 20 people lined up ready for that job. Now to get, if you have 10 applications, you better find a position for them. Accountability has changed. Let me rephrase that. People are afraid to hold their employees accountable today because they're afraid they can't replace them.
How much is that affecting the industry?
A lot. Back in my Rent-A-Center days, when I took that district that was at the bottom 5% of the company, it had been a perennial bottom 5% year after year after year. And I was in the same district as the district manager that I replaced. So I knew him. His words were, well, I'm afraid to hold him accountable because we was in West Texas. So we were competing with the oil field. So I get the district and I knew right away that we had problems. I came in, we were ranked 300, I don't know, something like 346, somewhere around there. And I came in July. I had 9 stores. Before December 31st, I had replaced 7 managers and moved up to number 16 in the company by saying, we're going to do this the right way or you're not going to work for me, period. And I'm going to tell you, Pete, to do that, there was times that I was in that store and I was running that store and I was the one that I replaced. He didn't want to do that. And so I said, you know what? If you don't do it, I'll come in and do it myself. I couldn't do all my stores that way. But the point is, when I set that line up for the accountability, then people saw it. There was people that wanted to be successful. They moved into those manager positions and they became successful. If they didn't want to do their job, if they were, if they could not, if they just refused, thought that they were irreplaceable, I'd replace them.
I think you need to have one of those breakout sessions in the next meeting of the minds, and you can sit down and tell us how to make it happen.
Well,
what do you say? What do you say?
I'm open for it, but I'm gonna tell you, to run a district like that or to run a business like that, you really have to have nerves of steel. You really have to say, okay, look, what are you costing me by me keeping you in this position? What is the cost of me keeping you in this position and allowing this store to fail? Because that's what you're doing. If you have dead weight, especially in a manager position, you're allowing that store to fail. And so we just have to, you know, we just have to do it. One of the things, let's talk a little bit about recruiting, because if you're going to hold your employees accountable, you better have someone on the back burner. And so one of the things that I train my employees and I train my managers and I train every employee I've got, you're always recruiting, even if you're fully staffed. And some of the best recruits that we have is our best customers. I would never hire a bad customer.
I agree. And you know what? I've always said it when it comes down to the conversation. I know that my GMs can do every position. They just can't do every position at the same time. And that is something that you always need to realize. You've got to be recruiting, because otherwise you're going to find yourself the only one doing it. And you know, those two-man deliveries after you close is getting pretty difficult. You've got to be reaching out. You've got to be looking for that new talent. And you've always got to be ready for that unknown situation. I mean, that happens a lot. That's had to have happened a lot to you as you have these new locations, as you're opening up in a different era. What were some of the things that you had to overcome in these new locations that you started up?
Wow. Employment-wise was exactly that. And like I said, I've never been afraid to hold anybody accountable, but I told you 300% turnover. They would just walk off the job. Part of it was, the majority of it was because there was so much free money out there, they didn't have to work. That was one of the things with COVID that hurt businesses, that hurt I guess it helped the economy, but it definitely hurt people trying to run a business, was so much money out there. I'll give you, for instance, I knew a kid that was working, I think it's Bed Bath & Beyond during COVID. He's part-time, he's making $10 an hour, working 20 hours a week, and they laid him off. But when they laid him off, the government started paying him, I think it was $1,400 a week.
What?
Why would you go back to work?
Well, the fundamental economics will tell you, if you give somebody more money for not working, they're not going to go back to work. But the idea always was, take this money, you know, use it for your family, use it to get ahead, because not everybody was able to go back to work. Some people, you know, because they had children, they had extra partners that couldn't go anywhere. Mm-hmm. So they were trying to overcompensate certain people so that if they did have those situations where, let's say, they had a wife or a partner or a husband who didn't work and they didn't qualify, that, you know, you would make enough for the both of you. But in a lot of situations, I agree, they were making more than we were really affording to pay. That puts you in a bad situation. I mean, 400% turnaround, that's a lot. Did you have a lot of problems with merchandise at that point in time? Because going to the meeting of minds, I can tell you, you've probably seen every vendor that you can probably shake a stick at. But at that point in time, was it hard to get merchandise? Was it hard to really set these stores up?
You know what? We had to retrain ourselves and we just had this conversation after Albuquerque. We had to retrain ourselves on ordering merchandise, because during COVID, merchandise was so hard to get. You know, you might place an order for appliances and you might get it in 6 months and you might not. So we have a big warehouse. Our Henderson store is big. We have, you probably don't want to hear this, but we have about 3,500 square feet of warehouse there.
Oh, wow.
Plus our showroom. So yeah, I know how small the Florida stores are. So
I'm telling you right now, I'm suffering sometimes.
Some of those back rooms were tough.
Well, I could tell you, you know what the crazy thing is being in the Tampa Bay area in the Hillsborough County, what I'm paying per square footage, I think I have one particular location that actually has a good lease amount, not a good lease size, a good lease amount. all of my locations, whether they're normal size or even just a little bit bigger, they are extremely high. And I know that in the Tampa area, even in Florida, I mean, if I was going into other states like Arkansas, Missouri, sometimes in Texas, I can get double the amount of space that I have in one of these stores for what I'm paying for. I'm not saying, you know, you've got to factor a couple things in. Of course, location plays a very good role in that, but I'm paying a lot for what we have. The price per square footage is an amazing amount. Out there, I know you get more bang for your buck. And I don't particularly, that's where one of the reasons I was saying is like, I think being in those areas, not only can you get more bang for your buck, not only can you create those better relationships, but you have the ability to start businesses at a rate that you just can't start here as far as a city area. So would you say that you were able to get all three stores off the ground with the same amount of startup capital?
Yes, I would. But I would also say that you're absolutely correct. I could not have done that in Tampa Bay, Florida. I could not have done that in Fort Myers, Florida. Probably couldn't have done it in Dallas, Texas. But because of the fact that we are in these smaller rural towns, leases are cheaper. You know, real estate's cheaper. You still have a need there. You know, it's evident by my business. There's still a need. But I'm not paying $10,000 a month for a lease.
When you started out and when you were talking about coming down here and you ran some of these markets over here, these were city areas. So what led you to be in a non-city area?
I'm a country boy at heart.
So if anybody hasn't seen Leroy, how tall are you, Leroy?
Almost 6'3".
Okay, so he looks a lot more than 6'3 with his hat on. But if you ever seen Leroy, and I encourage you to go on some of the social media sites or at least go to Rent By, and he's 6'3 and he's a large man, not round. He's just large. He's very tall. He's got his boots on, he's got his hat on. By the time you're done, you'll look 6'5 easy. And I can tell you right now, you definitely country. You definitely play that role very well. And I think you got it. I could definitely see that. I know that I've seen some of the pictures that you go fishing. You spend a lot of time with the family. You're a very, very God-fearing man. And that's awesome to see. Well, let me ask you a question. How does the family play into these three locations? And are you the only one doing it? Or did you get anybody from the family to kind of help you out?
Well, my wife was a teacher. She just retired. Let's see, last year. So last year, we have this little farm, and you know we have our house on it, and my son and his wife has a house on it. So they had a baby, and so my wife wanted to retire and start helping with the business and help with the baby, and I thought that's great. So recently, within the last year, she has gotten involved in the business. Now, she didn't know anything about rent to own, other than hearing me come home and talk about it. But she's catching on, and some of it was shocking to her. Some of it was, you know, for me to get her to stay in a store by herself, she probably won't like me telling this, but she was a city girl. So she was a little leery to be in the stores, but she's gotten better. She'll go in the store now.
Well, I tell you what, when I first met Miranda this go around at Meeting of the Minds in Albuquerque, the Trip Convention, let me tell you, she's smart as a whip. She's nice as anything. And I can see why you were able to get things done, because, I mean, she's very supportive and seems to understand what you do. But you've been doing it for such a long time that I know secondhandedly she really kind of does have an understanding of what's going on. Maybe not the intricacies until she really got into it. But I'm sure there's a lot of rent to own that she was able to get from the conversations and those late night dinner conversations that you guys have about the business and everything that's going on. And we kind of talked about it before, but I want to bring it to the forefront. You say, I've got three. There might be something more. Are we making more rent buys?
The short answer is yes. We are going to continue to grow, whether it's through acquisitions or, you know, just opening new stores. We are looking, you know, there's a possibility that we may acquire some stores here in East Texas. So, yeah, I mean, we could go from 3 to 12 overnight if everything lines up properly. So
you've gone from corporate America. You've gone down to open your own business. You've got three successful ones. Now you're going to the Meeting of the Minds. Now you're going to the Trib Show. You're going to the RTO World in August.
Yes, I will be at RTO World in August.
Let me tell you, I love that event. It's my most favorite event of the year. Meeting of the Minds is second to that, but I always enjoy what Trib and what APRO do. I love going because I love seeing the people that are involved in this industry helping others out with either great ideas or new ways to do the same old thing and be more effective at it. But one thing I want to know is, so you're in this situation where you have these three stores, you've kind of come up all the way from the bottom as far as starting them up and really kind of putting it in. Is there a time frame where you go, you know what, maybe I want to open my own franchises? In other words, somebody might want to franchise a rent buy in the state of Texas, and I do that. Is that something that ever comes up in your mind?
Yes, we have discussed it. We haven't looked into it a whole lot, but it is something that we have discussed. It is something that we thought that would definitely be a possibility. You know, whether that happens or not, I honestly don't know, but it's definitely a possibility at this point. And the reason I say that, because number one, I don't know how to do it. Before I say yes, I would do it, I'd have to learn how to do it first. So that's just the truth.
So if anybody out there in the RTO industry knows how to set up franchises so that someone can franchise their business, you let me know. I'd love to get you in contact with Leroy, but that's a good question that I have for myself because I just don't know it. Hopefully one day I'm going to be as big and strong as Leroy and I'm going to eat all my greens and I'm going to have some stores of my own. And then I might have that question and go, how do I franchise this thing? How do I make it what it is? What made you come up with the name Rent Buy? Where did that come from?
Well, you know, I honestly wanted to use Rentway, and someone said that it would probably make Rent-A-Center mad if I did that. So that Rentby, I tell you what, when I had a bet with my son, and the bet with my son was if he lived in Fort Stockton. At that point, I was living in Houston before I opened my store. And it was a bet on Ronda Rousey. She was undefeated MMA fighter. And if she won, he had to come to Houston to see me. If she lost, I had to go to Fort Stockton to see him. And she got her head kicked off, and I had to go to Fort Stockton. Anytime, just because I'm a curious person, anytime I go in anywhere, and if there's an independent rent-to-own store, I'm going to walk into it. Well, I walked into one in Fort Stockton. And that honestly is what brought me out of retirement. It was a rent buy and totally different brand, totally different Brandon. But this guy over there, Joe, I walked around his store. You won't mind me telling this, for about 10 minutes and never got waited on. And so finally, a lady stepped out of his office and said, "Sir, could I help you?" Talk to her. And, you know, told her my deal that, you know, I was rent on. And Joe stepped out of his office and Joe says, "Hey, I'm with the banker. Can I get your number?" I said, "Sure." So I gave her my phone number. Joe called me and literally he had a store that was 222 agreements with a 15 plus of 40%. And he was ready to close the door on it. And we talked. I visited with him. And he said, "Will you help me? Will you hire on as a consultant?" And I said, "Yes, I will." And so I went over there. I was going over to Fort Stockton about 1 week out of the month. I was still retired. And we turned that store around. That store, when I left, when I finished consulting with Joe, it was at 560 agreements, and he was making money. And I just taught him to rent own business.
Wow.
And me and Joe became really, really close. We became good friends through it all. And so when I got ready to open my store, I called him and I told him, I said, "You know, you already told me you're not ever going to go expand anywhere out of Fort Stockton. He's just one store. He's got a lot more business over there than that." I said, "I want to use the Rent By name." And he said, "Okay, no problem." So I branded the Rent By off of my friendship with him.
Wow. What a story.
You know, and Joe has 228 rent houses. He has two RV parks. He has two loan businesses. And he just had all his hands in this, and he was ready to stop the rent-to-own business. Today, Joe will tell you that his rent-to-own store is his number one moneymaker.
And doesn't that go to show you how close the rent-to-own industry can be? I mean, how many industries will you have where somebody can go into your store and say, "You know what? let me help you, you know, and they come outside and say, introduce yourselves. And before you know it, you're down this road. That's not something usual. That's not something that you're going to find everywhere. And that's one thing I really, really love about this industry. Now, talking about getting involved in some of the things that are happening, now that you're back into it, now that you've seen some of the differences, what do you think about how social media influences smaller businesses?
Wow. It's definitely social media. It's the only way to advertise anymore, you know, other than, you know, we still do our telemarketing events. We still do our mail outs, but social media, if you don't have a social media presence, you're in trouble. That's one of the first things I learned is you have to have a social media, you know, you have to be out there. You have to build your Facebook page. You have to build your TikTok. You have to build your Instagram, and you have to get followers. Very important. And then not only do you have to build it, but then you have to know what works and what doesn't work. And that's the tricky part.
Are you the face of RentBuy? Have you become the face, or is it somebody else?
Let me tell you something. I'm glad you asked that question. So I can do a reel, right? I can go into one of my stores and I can do a reel. And in 2 or 3 weeks, I might have 100 views. I can put my girls in Nacogdoches on a reel. In 2 days, they'll have 1,000 views. So no, I'm not the face. but I'm learning.
But it's good to say that, because you know what, you want them to be able to have that success without you being there. I'm not saying that they shouldn't be successful with you, but it really makes it easier for you to be able to go, you know what, you guys handle it. You take over this situation, because I've got other things to look after and make it happen. So what operating systems are you using right now? If you're starting out, do you have a preference of the type of operating system that you have for smaller stores?
You talking about our point of sale?
Yes, we
use RTO Pro.
So back in the day, we used to use Hi-Touch. Did that ever come across your mind to go back to it?
Oh my gosh. I fantasize about Hi-Touch. I'm not going to lie. I've learned to use RTO Pro and I've become proficient with it. But in my opinion, and I know Hi-Touch has changed, because the first thing I did was got in touch with Hi-Touch, called Hi-Touch and wanted to use Hi-Touch. But no, Hi-Touch, in my opinion, was the best. You do know, and I don't know how long you've been away from Rent-A-Center, but you do know when Rent-A-Center moved away from Hi-Touch, it almost ruined them.
I mean, everything was on Hi-Touch back then. I remember, you know, when I had changed businesses and I found out that we were using Hi-Touch, it was pretty simple, and I really appreciated that. But coming out of that, because I remember I love the simplicity about it. You could really teach and get down to the nitty-gritty of Hi-Touch back then. When I'm talking about the one with the numbers, and I don't know what version that is, because I know that they have come up with newer ones, but I mean, it was so easy to do a 421 or check on different things, but yeah, you know it.
Yeah, I do.
But now the world went to Windows. And
yes.
I know a big chunk of the world is, when I say world, I'm saying the US, a big chunk of the US is now using VersaRent. Was that ever an option?
We looked into it. We did. But I tell you why I chose RTO Pro. Number one, we were operating, you know, with a small budget. It was affordable. I could sign my stores up for $120 a month. I'll tell you what it cost to run their software. The other thing is, I'd already learned the software because I had been over there teaching Joe in Fort Stockton. So that's what he was using.
Now, this software, I mean, how important, I guess the reason I'm asking is because I know that Hi-Touch can be scalable. I also know that VersaRent can be scalable. In other words, if you have one store, if you have 10 stores, you have 50 stores, it works for all of it. Is RTO Pro fitting that bill?
It is. It's a little different. So we have RTO Pro has a home office. We literally just signed up with that about 3 months ago. So we're still learning how to use it properly. The one thing I loved about Hi-Touch was that you could dial into stores and nobody'd ever know you was inside the system.
Correct.
You could dial into any store and nobody would know. Well, with RTO Pro, I can dial into my stores, but I have to do it with TeamViewer, which is okay. You know, it just, but the thing is, when I do dial into one of my stores with TeamViewer, then I'm taking a computer monitor away from one of my employees.
So I understood that at some point in time, I ran into some people who were going through that problem, and the best way that they can come up with it was to create a dummy terminal in the back was just a CPU with no monitor attached to it, and that would be the one that you logged into. So you couldn't see it on screen because it didn't have a monitor, and it was literally just a terminal that you dialed into so that there wasn't anybody else who would ever be using it. And I know that that was a go-around for it, but then there was the cost of having the extra terminal. So
never thought about
that. You have to kind of offset.
That's a great idea.
That's one of the ways that one of the businesses that I work with was able to get around that, because you two, sometimes you're putting in codes, or sometimes you're looking at something and you really kind of just want it to be you, and you don't want everybody staring at it. That was the best way that they could do it.
Right. Never thought of that. That's a great idea.
So we have the best way to open up stores on a budget. You make it happen. You literally put the farm on the line.
Yes.
Miranda decides that she's finally going to start helping you out. With Joe's help, he gets you back in the business after you've been gone for so many years. 2019, you decide to make it happen. You realize that some of the things that are different are completely different. Some of the things that are the same are completely the same. And then you start branching out. You're going to Meeting of the Minds in Albuquerque. Now you're going to RTO World in Orlando. What's next for Leroy?
I just want to, Pete, I love the rent-to-own business. I love it. It gets in your blood. I mean, I'm going to tell you something. One of the reasons that I've been successful in this business is because I've gained the respect of my employees. I've said this from the time I was a store manager up until I'm an owner, is I would never ask one of my employees to do something I wouldn't do myself. And then I'll back it up by going and doing it with them. And I'm still that way today. I will go into one of my stores and go on a delivery today with one of my employees. It just helps to garner that respect. And when they see that, you know, that I will get down on their level and work with them, then it makes everything great. What's next for me, though? I'm not done. I'm 60 years old, so I've got some more years left. People have been asking me, what is your exit plan? I don't have one right now. I'm in growth mode right now. I'm sure one day we'll decide, okay, let's stop. But that day is going to be in the future. It's not today. So we're going to keep growing.
I'm going to tell you right now, here at the RTO show, we wish you the best of luck, because there's nothing more than I like to see is somebody with really the passion and heart to make things happen. And you go in, you put everything on its ear, you make it happen on a budget and grow. And not only grow, but you grow in stores. You have the possibility of actually expanding several stores. And I'd love to hear that story more when it happens. Now you're going to the Meeting of the Minds. Now you're going to the RTO World. I've seen a lot of what you do on social media. We love to see that. You've got Rent By coming around the corner. Is there any words of wisdom that you want to give before we get off the line here? Is there any words of wisdom you would give to anybody who's starting out and they don't have those big pocketbooks? What would you tell them to do or say, or a bit of advice that you'd say, you know what, this is something that I've learned that I guarantee you is going to help you?
Do not let fear be your determining factor. I should have done this 15 years ago, but I kept putting it off because of fear. I kept putting it off. What if I don't succeed? What if I can't do it? What if? Figure it out. You've got to have a plan. You've got to know. Number one, the one thing you have to know is you have to know the financials of this business. You have to understand what it takes to get into that building, to get into. Before I ever opened my first store, I had a business plan all the way down to the penny. And this is what I knew. Once I put that plan to paper and I studied it and I revised it and I would look at it and I would revise it again. And when I got it down to where, okay, yes, I can open a store with $250,000, then there was nothing left but to do it. Don't let fear be your deciding factor.
I'm going to tell you right now, When you say those words that I can open my own rent-to-own brand and store with $250,000, I'm going to get phone calls. I'm going to direct them towards you, and I'm going to say, he's got a lot of information to give, so they might be giving you a call and saying, hey, what is the magic sauce in that? And we really, really, really hope that you guys have, if you have any questions, please feel free to reach out to the show. Let us know what your thoughts are on this. If you want to ask a question, you're welcome to go to the website at thertoshowpodcast.com, and you can fill out something right there on the website. It'll come directly to me and we can chat, or you can hit me up directly on the email. It's Pete at thertoshowpodcast.com. You can check us out on social media, on Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. All three things we're posting all the time. We have a couple of different things coming up, and we're so happy that we're able to sit here and talk to one of the greats that has done just about everything from starting the business back in the day, come all the way up to the ranks, work for the big guys, show corporate how it's done, retire, come back from retirement, open up a store, turn it to three stores, now possibly turning it to a multi-unit situation where you're going to grow even more. Congratulations on your success, Leroy. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
And as always, everybody, I'm going to always tell you, get your collections low to get your sales high. Have a great one. As always, the RTO Show is proud to be sponsored by the Association of Progressive Rental Organizations. April is consistently participating, educating, and watching candidly over the rental industry and has been doing so since 1980. Keep track of the current and future events, meetings, and legislative gatherings by going to the website at rtohq.org. And while you're there, don't forget to subscribe to the RTOHQ magazine and newsletter. Also, if you're not a member of April, find out how to become one online at rtohq.org.